Simple Needs. Written by Rinleaf. Read by Opalsong. Fandom, Modazu Shi, or The Untamed. Rating, teen. Relationship, Meng Yao, Nie Ming Chui. Also tagged for fluff, thick coda, space AU, and Niao fluffy feel good. I don't know. I really don't know. Part 2 of the Fortunate Orbit series.
You remind me of a former love that I once knew. And you carry little beads with you. We were holding hands walking through the middle of the street. It's fine with me. I'm just taking in the scenery. You remind me of a few of my famous friends. Well, that all depends.
There is a tidiness about rows and columns of information arranged in a logical manner, highlighted with color and outlined with bold lines, that brings great comfort to Meng Yao. The universe isn't tidy. The universe isn't logical. The universe is unforgiving and cold and favors some more than others, favors him even less. Go home, Jing Guangshan told him just before he died, as if Meng Yao had anything left in the world comparable. And then he steps off the shuttle and crosses the gate, waving to Auntie Huifeng as he goes. She sticks her tongue out at him. Meng Yao salutes. Meng Chui is waiting for him by the archway that leads to the Deck 1 corridor knot. He looks smaller than Meng Yao remembers. He looks smaller, but he is by no means small. Padded, especially with many layered spacer clothing and his ever-present woolen scarf, and the braid that falls over his shoulder. Meng Chui looks like he always did. Meng Chui looks as if Meng Yao has never left. He smiles when he catches sight of Meng Yao, and the sight of his dimples makes Meng Yao's heart feel tight. So, he says, but that's the only thing he can manage before Meng Chui exhales and yanks him close, envelops him in a bear hug that would choke a lesser man. Meng Yao isn't a lesser man. He isn't a lesser man, but he has to clear his throat when Meng Chui lets him go anyway. Mouth suddenly dry, for no other reason than the fact that station air is stale and the temperature is icy as always, and the faint, dusty smell never agreed with Meng Yao's lungs. That wasn't what I expected, he says, voice hoarse. He clears his throat again. I was counting on at least a few cutting remarks. Definitely an accusation, a lecture, a restraining order, perhaps.
You idiot, Meng Chui says. I'm on half a mind to break your leg.
Meng Yao hides a smile behind his hand. That's more like it. Spent much time with Jiang Wenyin lately? Meng Chui scoffs and palms him on the shoulder, pulling him towards the archway.
There's tea in the kitchen,
he says in that tight voice that means he's trying not to laugh.
You can say hi to him there.
Oh, so it's getting serious then. Meng Yao grins. Meng Chui rolls his eyes and pulls him into a gentle headlock. Meng Yao knows exactly how to twist his way out of. He slides his hand into Meng Chui's back pocket and hums, satisfied at the way he can feel his ass flex. When did Meng Yao begin wanting Nie Ming Tui? To determine that, a distinction needs to be drawn first between wanting and wanting. Did Meng Yao wish to put his hands all over the man's shoulders the minute he walked into that cramped office tucked under the storage unit's port side? Yes. Was he ever going to follow through? Absolutely not. He has been surrounded all his life by beautiful people. His mother's profession was one reason. Being a Jin, no matter how backward and sideways and unwanted, was another. Meng Yao knows what it is to be attracted to someone. He knows what it feels like when his brain is flooded by the right chemicals, when his body produces the appropriate response to sexually relevant stimuli. He is entirely unprepared for Ming Chui's smile, or what his voice sounds like through the crackling on the comm, or his dimples. He is taken off guard by the way he cares, not the kind of absent-minded care of sect leaders, not a managerial care, nor a supervisory one, or any kind of superior. Ming Chui laughs with the aunties and puts food onto their plates. He yells at his brother and bundles him up whenever he is presented with the opportunity. He's excited about hydroponics and spare parts. He knits. The first time Meng Yao finds a pair of socks with a lace insert left by his door, slipped into a reusable flimsy packet, he almost loses the plot entirely. Months later, a year later, an impossible amount of time later, Ming Chui sits across from him in the communal kitchen once again, gives him a measuring look, and shakes a couple of chocolate biscuits out of a tin to go with Meng Yao's tea.
"You lost weight," he says. "Your cheekbones could cut a guy."
Meng Yao shrugs. "Lanling prisons are well appointed, but I'm not the stress-eating type."
"No,"
says Ming Chui, reaching out very slowly to stroke Meng Yao's cheek.
"You're not. Can I kiss you?"
"You don't always have to ask for permission, you know."
"I know. I like it, though. It startles you."
Meng Yao scoffs. "And you like that?" Ming Chui leans across the table and rubs his nose against his, which should, in Meng Yao's opinion, be illegal, at the very least in Outer Qinghe. Being so close to him makes Meng Yao feel warm and soft inside, and that isn't allowed. It shouldn't be, anyway. "I missed you," he blurts without meaning to. And Ming Chui laughs as he pushes in closer and kisses him like Meng Yao never left the station at all. The end. If you enjoyed this podfic, please leave feedback, both for myself and for the author. You can find this podfic at archiveofourown.org/users/opalsong. Thanks for listening!